What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Well said by the head coach, Nolan Smith, earned that game ball yesterday. The youngest player in Eagles history to have multiple sacks in a playoff game, 8 tackles, 5 pressures. 4 hurries, 2 tackles for losses, 2 sacks. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. All right, how about a little breakdown, Hugh, of what you saw from Nolan yesterday?
I saw a lot of speed, saw a lot of power. I mean, he got off the ball quick, man, and that was his biggest asset. I saw a couple times on one of the sacks that he got, he went a little underneath move where the tackle just blatantly overset him, and he was able to go underneath and then had the closing speed to come back outside, get back out into his pass rush lane, and still make the sack. Unsung hero in this game as well is Milton Williams. It was on one sack where Nolan got it. I think it was his first one, where Milt pushed the pocket, and he pushed the quarterback to Nolan, and Nolan was able to make the play. But the bottom line is this, man. This team is playing with a lot of speed. That was their biggest asset on the field, and he has the ability. He's got that long frame where he can get off the ball very, very quickly. And he can turn the corner when he gets off the ball and beats the tackle. So, yeah, he had a hell of a game yesterday. So much so that he brought the pain when he hurt the guard. Was it the guard, the pulling guard?
Jenkins.
He hit him dead on the shoulder. And after that, it was like game over. So, yeah, he was playing with a lot of ferocity yesterday.
Hugh, you know what's interesting? And look, not everyone's different. There's all different terms of players in terms of their trajectory and how quickly they hit the ground running. But, Hugh, no one's won. I've compared him in the past to Brandon Graham in that Brandon didn't have the easiest start here, but eventually he figured it out and obviously had a tremendous Eagles career.
Yeah.
Nolan didn't play much last year, Hugh, and the beginning of this season, he wasn't doing much. I think it was after the Tampa game, we discussed, like, what is he going to be, right? Is this the right pick? Because at that point, what, he was 20-something games into his career and hadn't had any impact. Hugh, I would say since the bye to now, he looks like a totally different player. It's like it just clicks for some guys at different moments.
He's gotten comfortable. He's gotten comfortable. He understands the assignment. A lot of times when you're out there, especially at the defensive end spot, you don't know what to do, so it keeps you from playing aggressive. It keeps you from being able to do things that you do on instinct. And they've done a great job of, number one, coaching him up. He plays with a lot of leverage. And putting him in positions where he understands exactly what's expected from him. You know, I looked at some of the TE stunts and stuff that they ran, man. He still has some things that he has to figure out, but, man, he's having a hell of a season doing it. I mean, and that speed that he has and that long frame, that helps him out tremendously on all of his pass rushes. Because you got to respect that speed coming off the corner.
The comp, the Brandon Graham comp, it reminds me of... So it's not just Brandon Graham, but it's Brandon Graham and Earl Thomas.
Yep.
The Brian Branch, Nolan Smith thing.
And they could play each other in 2 weeks.
There we go.
I know. And look, I think Branch is an awesome player, but the gap between those two players does not look like a year ago it was like, oh no. Right? We didn't pick Brian Branch. He looks like he's a future all pro safety. We got this whatever Nolan Smith is. Now it looks like they're both good young
even
players.
Nolan Smith was didn't he play like the entire third preseason game this year?
He did. It was a sign that he wasn't where he needed to be. And I mean that play he had, like Hugh described, going in and out. That's big time stuff.
Yeah, that's usually in plays like that when you have quarterbacks that can run, like Jordan can run.
Yep.
Most defensive ends aren't fast enough to close, like come underneath the end saw him. I mean the quarterback saw him, and still he had the ability to close and make the play. So, that's not easy to do.
No, he was great. So usually this is your segment to break something down, but I have to break something down in this segment. So Hugh, I'm going to throw something at you and then ask you a little trivia question. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, the Eagles recorded 3 interceptions. Do you know the last time the Eagles had a 3-interception playoff game?
I don't know the exact game, but Demo had one.
Demo did have one.
Demo had one. Is that Chicago? I'm thinking Chicago.
Let's hear how one of those sounded and what happened at the end of one of those. You're right. It was Chicago, division around 2002. Damon Moore was one of them, and in one of those, it sounded like this.
At the 25, the design rollout by Miller, going for Des White in a woefully underthrown pass, is intercepted by Damon Moore. Damon Moore, who picked off two Brad Johnson passes last week in the wild card game against Tampa Bay, picks this one off, and Jim Miller is holding on to his right arm and shoulder as he comes off the field.
Well, you're going to see what happens. When there's an interception, the defensive players always look up the quarterback first. You see right there, look like Hugh Douglas driving Jim Miller into the ground, and that appears to be his throwing shoulder.
And let's not forget the great play made by Damon Moore as Hugh Douglas wrestles Miller down.
Well, and the thing about it is, Dick, is there's nothing illegal about what Hugh Douglas did. He blocked Jim Miller and took him to the ground.
I love that call.
We didn't hear the rules.
Hugh, yeah. you were right. It was Damon Moore.
No, yeah, I remember because I think Bobby got one.
So it was that game was Rashard Cook.
Okay, Cooksey.
Carlos Simmons and Damon
okay,
Moore.
Okay, D-more. Okay, I thought yep. Bobby got one.
But you
one
had the bit. Game. You knew what I was talking
no,
about.
No, because it was like, okay, I think I remember this game. Yeah, and I mean, it's man, I tell you, that's a momentum changer right there when you're throwing picks like that. You, that's the one thing you do not want to do in the playoffs is get a ball up. Because it just diminishes your chance of winning that game. It's just tough.
94 WIP breaking news.
We do have breaking news from WIP presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Kyle, do we have a coaching change in the NFL?
We do. Tom Pelissero says sources Mike McCarthy is out. As Cowboys coach, the sides couldn't agree on length of contract. McCarthy will pursue other opportunities. He leaves Dallas with a winning record and three playoff appearances. Ian Rappaport adds, Saints and Bears will have interest in Mike McCarthy.
You know, once McCarthy...
A retread.
Yeah, once McCarthy wanted to interview somewhere else, it felt like... You know, like if you're talking about dating someone else in a relationship, this thing's probably heading the wrong way. Maybe they just decided this was not working anymore.
He feels like such a bear.
You know what? Look, I know we laugh, McCarthy. The Bears could do worse than Mike McCarthy. They have for like 20 years. At least he brings some professionalism.
Sure, that feels and like
some type of stability.
Yeah.
That feels more like a status quo move by the Bears to me than anything.
But wait, he's better than Eberflus.
Sure, but like, doesn't that feel like, oh, maybe the Bears will 1 year win 10 games and then not win a postseason
maybe.
Game? And it's not like a big swing.
Would
if you
say
me.
It's settling?
I would, yeah.
Well, like, when you've had that many bad significant others, maybe you look for someone that has some stability.
If we're being completely honest, what the Bears need to do is get somebody like Ben Johnson, who's going to get the best out of Caleb Williams.
Well,
like McCarthy.
I agree with you, but maybe they've already found out all the real candidates don't want them.
Maybe. But Mike McCarthy's going to want to run like a 1990s offense there. And so, I don't think that's what the.
So, Hugh, we'll see where McCarthy lands. But Kyle just said Saints and Bears. What's interesting now is who coaches the Cowboys. Who's.
Might be a kiss of death for us. We might get what if they get a good coach?
Well, that's true. I mean, look, what we laughed at the Commanders a year ago, and now look at them. I mean, sometimes a coach changed everything. I also wonder, and I brought this up a lot, I think if Jerry can't find a coach, he likes things he's familiar and comfortable with. Kellen Moore was their offensive coordinator for a long time. He played there. I would you be surprised if we get the request soon for Kellen Moore to interview for their job?
I won't. He's interviewed for a few jobs.
I know.
And I know he was up. That's probably one of the reasons why he got fired from Dallas, wasn't it? Because he was bucking for...
Maybe. He wanted the real job, yeah.
McCarthy's job. So who knows?
A lot of raccoons.
How do we feel if Moore takes the Cowboys job?
Go ahead.
Yeah, he can go.
See, you guys say that, and I understand, like, all right, he's probably not going to turn the Cowboys into a great team, but we would have to have another coordinator.
How creative has he been this year with this offense, in your opinion? I know the younger guys like him,
mm-hmm.
but how has he made the starting quarterback better?
So I don't think he's been super creative, but I heard on the broadcast yesterday kind of caught my attention. He got a lot of credit from Brady yesterday for evolving the offense, and Tom Brady said it in a very politically correct way, but the way I read it was like, He changed the offense around their deficiencies in the throwing game.
Yeah, but that's what he's supposed to do as an offensive coordinator.
I know, I get it.
I mean, but it still looks. I mean, They're winning games. They're winning games. But when you look at our offense, look at it like this, if I can help you. Look at the weapons that we have. If we have the weapons that we already have and the creativity of, what is it, the Ben Johnson, the guy up in Detroit?
Yep.
Where would we be? Like that, we're probably scoring like 30, 40 points a game with some of the stuff that he does. So it's one of those things where I feel like a lot of times with Coach Moore, he's done a good job, but this offense probably could have been a lot better.
There's two different ways I think you can look at the Kellen Moore thing, is what Hugh just said, this offense should be a lot better. That's sort of the part I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
But then you could also ask yourself, and this might piss off a lot of people, is he really getting the best out of Jalen Hurts? Like, is this actually, do other teams around the league view this as, well, Jalen Hurts is pretty deficient, this offense is probably the best that it could be?
So my read is, it's what you just said, because he's now had two head coaching interviews off of this year. I'm guessing he's going to get a Cowboy interview. I mean, I almost think as a courtesy, he was there already. I bet they interview him. So that would be three interviews. Like, if teams thought he was holding them back, he wouldn't be getting interviews. We'll see. We'll see where the Cowboys go. But Mike McCarthy out in Dallas as the Cowboys a week later than everyone decide to make a decision.
What have I done to deserve this?
Isn't this very Jerry making a decision a week late, so he's behind the eight ball and all these interviews?
I mean, with all these other coaches that are out there trying to get jobs, you waited to the absolute. You blocked him from interviewing. And then you couldn't come to an agreement.
That's right. They denied the
pay. You blocked the man from the interview. And then now y'all can't come to terms knowing that, like, this is a thing that when you think about it, you're not negotiating from a position of power, because technically he's done as the coach.
He's a free agent.
And so now you want to try to strong arm him at the negotiations and say, well, no, this is not what we want to pay you. And he's the one that has all the power at that point.
And he also has other suitors, right? Like, if he had no other suitors, it'd be
it'd be a different story.
But obviously the Saints and Bears want to interview him. All right, we'll see what happens there. McCarthy out in Dallas, and the Cowboys need a coach. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines. Coming up, we will dive into tonight's game, the Rams and the Vikings. Who do we want to the phone lines, though? We got a lot of people that want to talk about a victory, 22-10 over the Packers. What hit you the most, the defense or the ups and downs of the passing game? It is our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. So I haven't looked at the poll yet today. I'm curious where this went. What hit you more from yesterday's game? Hugh, which side of this you think is getting more votes? The defense dominated or the pass game struggled?
I would say, being that it's Philadelphia, I think most people are more upset about the pass game struggle.
So the defense actually is winning this, but it is interestingly close, considering they won a playoff game by double digits yesterday. So 60% on the defense dominated, 40% on the pass game struggles after a playoff win by double digits tells me that the antenna's up.
That move, too, because it was a lot closer to 50-50 earlier on in the show.
Yep.
So
it's moving that way. All right, let's talk to Carl in Chester. What's up, Carl?
Hey, how are you?
Good, Carl. What's up?
I'm all right. It's good to talk to you guys. I met you in the cell phone store a couple weeks ago, so you know what I mean? Now I'm back on the air.
So you guys are best friends now, basically.
Oh, no, I did. I remember you talking about when I was in Delaware, right? Correct?
Yep, in Delaware, yep.
Yeah, yeah. Because he caught me off guard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't want to run up on you. He calls a friend to you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, he caught me off guard.
Did you both have phone issues?
My phone was cooked.
Okay, yeah, that happens sometimes to you. How's the new phone?
I was buying another one for, you know, it's Christmas time. But football, the Eagles, I want to first say, you know, they did win the game or whatever, but I think that call earlier in the game or whatever, it was a clear recovery by the Packers on that fumble. All right, so for them to review it and then still give the Eagles a ball, I thought was ridiculous.
So, Carl, I didn't think it was a clear recovery by the Packers. I also didn't think it was a clear recovery by the Eagles. I mean, it just felt like I didn't know who had the ball. I mean, it did look like the Packers had it first, and then Trotter just wrestled it away. What'd you think of that one, Hugh? Because it wasn't clear.
When I saw the hit, I saw the ball come out, and then I saw Trot come over the top. And normally it's whoever has the ball underneath the pile. You know, that's how it usually works.
Right, but I'm saying when they showed it or whatever, the aerial view, they showed that the Packers recovered the ball. And at that point, to review it and then still give the Eagles the ball, I think it was a little bit, I think that was a little fixy.
You think it was a little home cooking? little home cooking.
Nothing wrong with a little home cooking.
Yeah, I need a little home cooking.
That's fine. Nothing wrong with that until the title game. Then I don't want to hear about home cooking. That'd be bad.
True. And then the interception earlier in the end zone, one guy is tackling the guy, and then the other guy intercepts the ball. I thought that was a clear pass interference.
Yeah, I thought Bond had him too.
So let's just say it was a lot of home cooking that helped the Eagles win that game, and we can agree on that.
Well, so
they missed a few for us too, though.
I also thought last night there was a fourth down the Commanders didn't get in the end zone, and Zach Ertz was definitely interfered with. I thought they were letting them play yesterday.
And
might have been the theme of the first round.
Play.
Let them play.
Yeah. Well, it's always good talking to you guys. We'll talk again next week.
You got it, Carl. Yeah, I mean, if you ask me, like to say fairly, did I think the whistle was a little kinder to the Eagles or Packers yesterday? I thought it was a little kinder to the Eagles, but I mean, a lot of those Packers penalties, they were clear, right? Holdings.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
well, they were finally calling holding on the Eagles' defensive line, like for us getting held.
So that backup that came in for the Packers at left guard, he was a disaster. It was like
they took him out pretty quick.
I know. I've never. It's pretty rare that a player gets just fully benched. Like, they ran that backup in there. He had, like, three holdings. They were like, get him out of the game. I mean, this guy. Man.
The times were dire.
Yeah, it was dire.
They can't afford to lose a game with that
their
guy.
Their season was going down the drain. Big V in Mount Laurel. What's up, Big V?
Yo, what's going on, Gilio?
Big V, what's up?
Hugh,
what's
I want to thank you for being so plant-based Friday. That I think you sparked a lot of things in a lot of people to really, really, really lock in on Eagles.
You know what? I like this. I think Hugh gets credit for the win. Plant-based Hugh on Friday spurred the Eagles to victory. You like that credit?
No, I mean, that's fine. I'll take it.
Okay.
Hugh, I also want to congratulate you. It takes a big man to admit that he was wrong and dyed a beard.
He did it. I mean, he showed up yesterday as... I actually thought the beard, Hugh, yesterday looked greener in real life, in person, than it did
still,
in the photo.
I was still workshopping it.
When you put the picture up?
Yeah, when I put the picture up, and you know, for all the people that were so concerned about the color
they were concerned
of my beard, I did it for them because they had nothing else, you know, to do on a Saturday but worry about the color of my beard.
That's so, why you know, you're here. You're here for the people.
Yeah, I'm here for the folks.
He showed up for the people, Big V. What are you feeling?
Okay, first of all, defense definitely was the star of the game yesterday. They did a masterclass in gratuitous violence. I mean, from the kickoff where he hit dude and somebody should have called to see if his mother's nose was bleeding. That's how hard he hit him. And then from that point with Trott snatching that fumble out of the Green Bay's hand,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they set the standard and the tone for the game, that it was going to be violent, that anybody who had the ball was going to pay in pain, and that we were determined to win. So I'm completely happy about that. In terms of the offense, I don't think it was as much as Jalen having Russ, because he came off the last bye and he was fired up and, you know, making some really good passes. I think the game yesterday was more of the Green Bay Packers being prepared for Jalen and our offense. They seem to be very prepped. I mean, they pretty much limited Saquon a great deal of the time, and they limited our explosive plays except for the first one when we got the touchdown.
They did. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, other than a few, we didn't have wide open guys. It didn't feel like the offense was one step ahead. I agree with you on that. Hugh, what do you make of that? Because he said that he thought the offensive issues were more defense was prepared for what they were doing.
They weren't going to let them beat them deep?
If that's the case, then I need Kellen Moore to be a little more creative this week. He's got to draw some new things up.
That's what I'm saying, because I feel like, you know, we all knew going into this game, your biggest chance to win this game was running the ball with Saquon. You knew your quarterback was going to be rusty. I mean, help him out. Be a little more creative in the way that you get to certain things. I think early on, he was when he had the screens and the checkdowns to the intermediate to short passes. But in order to go deep, man, I think that a lot of times, you know, we used to do a whole lot of stemming and stuff in the not stemming, but moving around, motion.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do a whole lot of that. It's kind of like similar to what we kind of did last year. But the biggest difference now is we're winning. I think with the type of players that we have, to line up and not at least give your quarterback more information. And what I mean by that is moving people around, trying to see what the coverages are. You know, move Saquon to the slot sometime. Maybe put him back in the back. You know, just move people around just to see what the defense is going to do or how they're going to react. You make it easy for them to guard against you because you don't do some of that stuff.
Yeah, I just, look, Kellen Moore, it's some comments earlier. It's a little bit hard to kind of parse how good of a job he does because some of it you wonder how much they coaching around some deficiencies, how much is they just not that creative.
I mean, all that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair to wonder.
But the spotlight's going to be on Moore. I mean, let's just play out the next 3 weeks, and we're going to get in the next segment to the matchup and who we want to see on Sunday. To win the whole thing, there's a real chance the next 3 weeks are Brian Flores, Aaron Glenn, and Steve Spagnuolo on the other side. Those are three of the best. And those guys blitz, and they're creative, and they make life difficult for opposing quarterbacks. Like, I need Kellen Moore. And look, the check to the Goddard's, you know, touchdown pass was a great one. I need Kellen Moore to be really good the next 3 weeks. Otherwise, you just get the sense one of these guys, whether it be Flores or Glenn or Spagnuolo, I know it could be other opponents, but they're good, Hugh. I mean, like, we have some good defensive minds coming up the next few weeks that they're going to have to scheme against.
Oh, yeah. They're coming for you, man. I mean, they're going to look at that. They're going to look at some of these deficiencies, and they're going to try to exploit them the best they possibly can.
Yep, and it's going to be on both Kellen Moore and Jalen Hurts to figure this thing out and be better in the pass game. Chuck in Mount Airy. What's up, Chuck?
Yo, Jillio, what's the dealio?
What's up, man?
Chuck, what's up, buddy?
Hey, listen, man. Hey, here, man. Congratulations on being a man of your word, man. I like that green beard, man. Do it for the culture, brother. Do it for the culture. But let me just say this real quick. It feels good to get to the next round. I'm not going to, shame on that. It feels good to get to the next round. I'm happy that we're able to move on to the divisional round. But if I say I'm not completely worried, I'd be lying to you. I'm kind of worried. I'm concerned, man, going into the next game, man. And it ain't even because of the offense. It's just, it's been like this all year long. And then people blame Kellen Moore. Well, Kellen Moore looked like the offense was humming when we had two other quarterbacks coming here. It looked like the offense was humming in, I think this guy is really coaching around Jalen Hurts' deficiencies, man. Like, seriously, I think he can only do but so much. And the plays that he do call out there is he simplified for the quarterback. You know what I mean? So, that's just what my opinion is. We all have him. I just think Jalen, he's been saying it all year long. This ain't going to be good enough for the NFC Championship game or the divisional round.
Yeah, Chuck, I agree with that. I mean, we'll see about this week and who the opponent is. But as we go further, at some point they're going to have to throw more to win and throw efficiently.
Well, yeah, exactly. And the thing about it is our defense is so good that we were able to escape yesterday with Green Bay playing the way they played. But they had bodies dropping like flies. But they really didn't challenge us, the way that I think other teams will be able to challenge us. If we want to get to where we want to get to, Jalen has to play better. And I looked, trust me, there was some film out there that I checked out, and, our receivers wasn't getting completely open. But you'll never be completely open in the NFL. He has to let that ball go, man. I think sometimes he holds it to be afraid to throw an interception, man. And that hurts our offense, man. It really does. And he takes a sack, and it just looked sloppy yesterday, and it looked like that for most of the year this year. And like I said, when the other two quarterbacks came in here, it didn't look like the offense was humming. I'm not saying they're better than Jalen, but I can't blame Kellen Moore and know what I've seen with another quarterback behind center. Jalen has to get rid of the football, and he has to stop holding the football, man, and play better for us to be successful and get where we need to get.
Yeah, it's a fine line. You're not the only one.
Washington will beat Detroit next week. That's my bold prediction.
Ooh, and Chuck, I love it, man.
Washington and the Eagles in the NFC Championship game, and that's what I'm sticking with.
I love
it. We'll beat Detroit next week.
Well, that game could be a shoot. The over-under is 56. Chuck, we appreciate the call there. All right, 215-592-9494. What hit you the most for the win yesterday? Dominant defense, offense, not so much. And when we come back, let's talk about tonight's game. It's a big one, and my eyes are going to be squarely on that screen tonight between the Vikings and the Rams. The winner comes here Sunday at 3 o'clock. What we expect, what we want, as we await the Eagles' opponent in the division round. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. From big upsets to game-winning drives, the NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 of bonus bets, win or lose. The FanDuel app gives you everything you need for live bets, same-game parlays, and so much more. Plus, when you win, you get paid instantly. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to join today and get started with $200 in bonus bets. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Make this playoff season unforgettable with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
On second down, Hurts drops, steps up. He's looking, he's rolling, he's back, still looking, and he is firing for the end zone. Touchdown! Wide open, touchdown, and it goes to Johan Dotson.
The opening touchdown, Hurts to Dotson. Elliott Hugh put up a, took a screenshot of the play where Hurts threw to Dotson. And the pocket that Jalen Hurts is in.
Pretty pocket.
I mean, I've never seen anything like it. He's just standing there, and there's no defender within, 5 yards of him. It was one of the most remarkable combinations of blocking. And I also give Jalen some credit on it, Hugh. He had a lot of patience. At first, did you notice? I think the internal clock in his head started going off like,
yeah, and it was like he was about to run.
Yeah, he was going to leave. And then he's like, wait a second. I can just stay here. No one's coming near me. It was incredible. A great moment early in the game as the Eagles score to go up 7-0. 215-592-9494. Let's get back to your phone calls here, and then we got to get into tonight, Monday Night Football, the Monday Night playoff game. The Vikings, Rams, neutral site in Arizona. Who do we want? What do we expect as we await the Eagles' opponent on Sunday? We got Herb here in the Northeast. What's up, Herb?
What's happening, Jellio? You Douglas.
What's going on,
Herb,
man?
What's up?
Oh, boy. Hey, boy, somebody fumbled that right away. They came out punching. It's going to be a physical game, boy. That's the way we're going to have to play on Sunday. We got some weather coming. Yeah, there might be some bad weather coming in, so let's get the dogs out. Hoo, hoo. Let's get the dogs out. Hoo, hoo. We going to go out? Hey. We going to get 3 or 4 more interceptions. And we're going to get some fumbles, too, boy. Watch. You watch, boy. This week is going to be the gangrene is coming out like the old days, like Buddy Ryan, like Dick Vermeil. Here they come, baby. Just watch it. Yeah, boy. Jalen Hurts. Yeah, he fakes the rollout. He's going to run that baby down for 40-yard touchdown right down the Right down the sideline, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, my boy, 88, here he comes. Yes, sir, the tight end, J.J. Brown going to get his touchdown. Number six is going to get his touchdown, here comes the offense. Our boys are clicking now, you watch on Sunday, no matter who's coming to town, the Rams or the Vikings. We know what to do. Bring out that old playbook from a few years ago when we won the Super Bowl. And we smashed up Atlanta and we smashed up Minnesota.
That's right, Herb.
Oh, yeah. Here we come.
I like the Herb pump-up speech of the Monday.
You understand, baby?
Oh, I am.
Herb, I understand.
Yeah, smell something. I got Trotter Jr. He's going to make some plays this week.
How about the fumble recovery yesterday, Herb? How about that?
Yeah, his father's proud of him, boy. Let me tell you.
Of course he is.
You know that, brother.
Herb, who do you want on Sunday? You want the Rams or Rams or Vikings?
I don't care who comes. He's going to be prepared to play.
Bring either in. Bring them both. Screw it.
It don't matter who. We're going to play for this. We're going to play this week and put ourselves one game away from the Super Bowl. That's what it's about.
Right, Herb. I like that.
I'm fired up.
Monday, a little Monday, Herb. Here, you ready?
I'm ready.
You have goosebumps.
Goosebumps.
That third game.
I don't think you do. I don't know. Only Monday.
New Orleans.
Fire up that bus, Herb. You ready?
Yeah, fire it up, baby. Get it started.
All right, Herb. Hydrate this week. Get yourself ready for Sunday, buddy. There he goes. Herb in the Northeast, everyone. We'll pump up speech on Monday. It's only Monday. I expect better by Friday. Though he did
better than that?
Yeah, I do. No, if you're looking for an early same game parlay, he gave us 4 touchdown scores and is calling for 5 turnovers they're going to cause. So.
Oh, that's a hell of a day.
Yeah, that feels like a blowout for the Eagles. But I like optimistic Herb on Monday. Let's talk to Brad in Haddon Heights, who has a thought on the quarterback situation. What's up, Brad?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How we doing, Brad?
Oh, I ain't too bad. It's a good day. Good Monday.
For sure. We got a playoff win. So what are you thinking here?
I'm worried. I've been worried all year, and I've been saying the same thing all year, and everybody thought I was crazy back in preseason, but I truly believe our Tom Brady slash Nick Foles is just waiting in the wings, and we're wasting this defense on Jalen Hurts, and I'm just tired of seeing him. It's almost like his eyes are wrong. I don't know what is going on. I've seen glimpses this year. I think that Steelers game, I don't think the Steelers defense was what it was in the beginning of the season. So I just think our best chance is to put the kid in.
And do what? Do the kid in and do what?
Run the offense.
Brad.
The way it should
Brad,
be
Brad, what was the purpose of yesterday's game? What was the ultimate goal of yesterday's game? The win, right?
Yes, sir.
Did he win?
He won.
So now you want to
how many times?
Wait a minute, Brad. I'm not done. I was gonna tie it up in a nice little bow for if you give me that opportunity. Are you gonna allow me to have
yes,
that
sir.
Opportunity?
Nope.
So you tell me you're gonna put a young, unproven guy in because you saw a couple quarters of him in a game with elimination. It's a one and done situation. You're gonna tell the fan base that's what you're gonna do on a Monday. After you just saw Jalen Hurts go out there off of 4 weeks rest and do what he did yesterday? Because you don't like the way the offense looked yesterday?
I like the way the offense looked, or I don't like the way
you didn't know you didn't like you okay, you didn't like the way the offense looked.
I like the offense. I like our
okay.
Players.
Who gives you okay, Brad, calm down. Calm down, Brad. It ain't no need to get bit out of shape. Who gives you the best chance of winning Sunday against whomever we play? Who do you feel gives you the best chance of winning?
A large pocket quarterback.
No, Brad. I would like a name.
Doesn't run out of the pocket.
Brad, realistically, who gives us the best chance of winning a playoff game Sunday against Minnesota or L.A.?
Not Jalen Hurts.
Okay. Tell me why do you feel whomever else you put in there is give you a better chance of winning? Give me that scenario.
Can I speak now?
Right. The floor is yours, bro.
Thank you, sir. What I saw at the beginning of the game when he did sit in the pocket and he made that pass to Jahan Dotson, I was very impressed. I didn't think he had that in him. But after that, I really didn't see that. To tell you the truth, I seen a lot of – it almost looked like he had tapped out. He knew he didn't have it. And it almost looked like he wanted to get hurt. He wanted to get out of that game.
Wait a minute. Let him cook. Where did he look like he wanted to get hurt? Could you point that out specifically to me in the game?
He would almost run, and it was like a half slide or something. I don't know what was going on. And then he would get up, and he had that look he had when he got all banged up in the game and got a concussion. He had that same look.
So you mean to tell me he had a look?
He don't have the stuff. You can love him up all you want, but I'm just
no, Brad. What I'm trying to get you to realize, like, listen, Brad, calm. First of all, calm down. If you don't like Jalen, just say that. But you're trying to tell me a guy looks scared who just came off of concussion protocol. What do you want him to look like, Brad? I mean, what do you want him to look
like? He's sitting on the bench with the real quarterback that we need in there.
You know what's funny about your conversation, Brad? Is I gave you an opportunity to sit here and voice your opinions, and then you made it stupid. Like you made the conversation stupid. How did he look afraid, Brad? Buddy just came off of concussion protocol.
Like he was sweating. He looked like he wasn't right or something.
Okay. So in your world, Tanner McKee gives us the best chance of winning against the teams that we're playing against this
week. I've been saying that since the beginning of the season.
All right, okay. Brad. I need to jump in.
You have
here.
A wonderful day.
I need to jump in. I didn't want to do this because everyone last week was – and I don't want to demean the kid. He's a developing young player, right, Tanner McKee? And he might end up being – I mean, Hugh called him the future 2 weeks ago. He was a McKee maniac. And I appreciate anyone who thinks he could become something. And maybe he will, right? Like, I'm not trying to do this. If you think Tanner McKee gives him a better chance to win a playoff game on Sunday, you're nuts. I mean, you're nuts. Like, we've gone too far. We're to the point where we're skipping over the backup quarterback to go to the third string quarterback.
Yeah.
Can I just point out something about Tanner McKee? Tanner McKee won 6 college games. If I'm being kind, he was a below average college quarterback. It doesn't mean he can't improve, and I think he has improved from when he was at Stanford to now, right? We saw in the preseason, he got a chance to play. You got a chance to talk to him last week. I think it was last Monday, right, on the players?
Yeah.
He seems like a good kid, and he seems like he's developing, and maybe he's going to become something one day. I mean, let's calm down a second. He had 9 of his 23 starts in college throwing the completion percentage under 60%. He had 4 under 50%. I have my questions on Jalen too, Hugh. I think all year he has been more average than great. I think that's being fair. But there's a big line between average NFL quarterback play and third string quarterback play, Hugh. I don't understand it. Like, I don't get how we've gotten there to Jalen Hurts. If you want to be concerned or you want to say, I don't know if he's good enough right now to win a Super Bowl, I think you're very fair to say that.
Yeah,
but
that's
to
fair.
Say Tanner McKee is better
that's
is
what
nuts.
I'm saying. And I gave Brad the opportunity, but it just got stupid at that point because you're sitting here telling me as an Eagles fan with a straight face or whatever it was you were trying to do that you would rather have in this do-or-die situation, this one-and-done situation, you want to have a rookie quarterback, a young quarterback who's only had one game under his belt, lead your team to a victory in a one-and-done scenario. That's just like, no, I'm not saying you're stupid, Brad, but that's stupid to say. That is real stupid to say. That is not being realistic. That is something based on purely that you just don't like Jalen. You'd have been better off just calling in here saying, I don't like Jalen Hurts, and then giving me those reasons instead of the stupid conversation that you was trying to have with that. Because that's not the reality of the situation that we're in right now. We're in a one-and-done scenario, and you're going to sit here with a straight face and try to tell me he's the best chance that we got to win a game? Stop it.
We thought he was a McKee maniac. That guy was a real McKee maniac.
My favorite part of this is the Eagles don't even think he's their second best chance to win.
If they had that much confidence in him, they'd have moved him up.
Right. Yesterday, he was designated as the third quarterback.
Was he the emergency?
Yeah, he was. Kenny Pickett was the backup yesterday. So, like, the Eagles, who have as much information as anyone, right, they know all three players, they don't think he's their second best option. Let alone the first. We can have concern about the passing game. I think we all deep down do to an extent, and we're going to see how far this thing goes. And it's gone very far. I mean, they're in the final four of the NFC. That's the truth. But the McKee stuff is just it's bananas. I mean, it's really, again, he had 4 games in college completing under 50%. Like, this guy was a 6th-round pick. The idea that we just have the next Tom Brady sitting here is probably not the case, McKee Maniacs. I'm sorry to let you down on a Monday. He's probably not Brady 2.0. Clay is up next. What's up, Clay?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, Clay? What do you feel?
Yeah, I'm talking about why the passing game is not a problem.
Okay.
The reason the passing game is not a problem is because we don't need to pass to win. We're the only team in the league who can literally run and win games.
For now.
I mean, and y'all say when we play these better teams, will it work? But we play better teams and better offense. We played the Ravens the same way. When he threw 19 passes, mm-hmm. had 100 yards, but we won the game comfortably.
If they played again, do you think they could do it again?
I mean, I do. The way this team is built, on offense and defense, why not?
So Clay, I mean, you're right, and so far it's worked. I still believe at some point, and that could be this Sunday, I think most likely it's going to be in Detroit for a title game, they're going to have to throw up more to win.
Right. I mean, we might, but everybody's looking at it wrong. Like we don't have to throw 40 to 50 passes to win. We don't need 400 yards of passing to win, and that's not a bad thing. Everybody's just looking at it wrong.
No, I don't think anyone's asking for 400, but like
I'm saying, or 300. We
no, I agree. But Clay, there were an hour went by like of real time yesterday without a pass completed. That didn't concern you?
And we didn't have the best game, but we still won by 12. We could have won by 19. So imagine if we clicking on all cylinders.
But that's what we want, right? We want to click on all.
The only thing Jalen Hurts could do is better is what, go 20 for 20? Because we don't need to throw 40 passes to win. We don't.
I agree with you on that. But yet,
every team can't win this way.
Sure. But, I mean, don't you want to have a better passing game, though?
I mean, we could. Is the goal not to win?
No, but that's not the question.
Because we don't need it. We don't need it.
Well, they haven't needed it yet. I mean, there's a difference between haven't needed it yet and will need it to win the whole thing.
The team has proved this since the bye. We averaged 21 21 passes a game, and we win every game.
Clay, I get it. And you, the Ravens point you brought out is a good one, but let's just play it out the next 3 weeks. The next 3 weeks, okay. they may have to beat a 14-win Vikings team, we're about to talk about the game, a 15-win Lions team, and then one of three quarterbacks is going to end up in the Hall of Fame one day, right? So, like, this is probably going to be a little bit more challenging the next 3 weeks, one, two, three in a row.
Until a team make it have to pass 40 times to win, why change? We limit turnovers.
Well, let me help you out, Clay, because this is what it is. Like, as a former athlete and somebody that played at the highest level, you want to try to work on your deficiency so that it won't become a problem as you progress through the playoffs. You know what I mean? Just like what Joe's trying to say is this. There's going to be a game where you might play, say, next week, whomever we line up against. They might stop the run. And if that's our bread and butter, then what do we have to get them take pressure off of that running game? It has to be the passing game. Have to be able to throw the ball.
Jalen can throw. It ain't like he can't. We just haven't had to.
But to Joe's point, it might be a game where, you know, you're right. The 12 to 13 passes game, that has been good for us. But there might be a game where there has to be more volume in the passing game. And what I mean by that is, in order to loosen up the running game, because a team might say, okay, Jalen might make a couple plays, but I know he's not the quarterback that's built to throw the ball all game long. And it might be a game where they might challenge him like that. They might say, I'm not letting Saquon Barkley beat me. They might say, Jalen needs to beat me with his arm.
And I believe he can.
I
think we all believe he can, but most of this year, that's not what has happened. Clay, good phone call. Let me make a quick comp, and then we'll get to the Vikings-Rams stuff in tonight, who we want to win. Back during the Philly season, they were up and down with their offense, and you could point to a lot of different players. Maybe you'd use Trey Turner as an example. And I can imagine there was probably a phone call on this radio station, like, this won't matter. Their pitching is so good, this won't matter. And then what happened in the Mets series? Their pitching got hit a little bit, and they couldn't score to win a high-scoring game and beat the Mets. They did it once in Game 2, but they couldn't do it in Game 3. In Game 4, when Lindor hit the home run, I don't know about you guys, but I felt like it's over because I didn't think the Phillies' offense was going to just come alive all of a sudden. Like, you need everything. That's how teams win championships. They have everything. Last year, Hugh, the Chiefs were more of a defensive team, but by the end, what did they need to get over the Niners?
Hey, they needed quarterbacks to make some plays, man. That's the thing. I don't think – we have to be realistic in everything that we're seeing. Yes. Was the performance yesterday good enough to get you through the first round? Yes. Now, nobody's sitting here saying that, you know, the performance is going to be sustainable throughout the whole playoff run. Nobody's saying that. And that's why you have to evolve and change. Yesterday's performance was good enough to win. They know that, and they did it. But it has to be better in order to win it all.
No doubt. All right, let's talk about this coming week. Sunday, 3 o'clock at Lincoln Financial Field. We got one of two teams coming in. Hugh, let's talk about this. Vikings-Rams tonight. It's the Monday night game. So there's a lot here. First of all, the game's being played in Arizona, unfortunately, because of the wildfires in Southern California. So there's no home field tonight. It's a neutral site game. I have no idea what the crowd will be like. You know, I guess people, you know, could just...
They're going to try. Some people are going to try, but it's kind of last minute, too.
Yeah, it's weird. So,
and then probably some of the L.A. fans, the ones that they have, they're probably dealing with other stuff.
Of course. So I don't know what kind of crowd we get tonight. So I'm going to just remove that. Just call this... You remember the pandemic year where you had like half crowds and it was like no home field? That's what I kind of feel tonight. It's not really going to help the Rams or really help anyone. Hugh, what do you make of the matchup? So it's a 14-win on the road Vikings team against the Rams. My gut tells me the Vikings are better, but it's hard. You know, McVay and Stafford, they're obviously dangerous too.
Yeah, they are. But I look at it like this, and either team we get, I feel that we match up well against. I think that both of those teams having to move to a neutral site kind of affects them more so than, you know, a team that had one on playing at home. I really don't care who we play, but if we had a choice between the two, I'd rather play Minnesota. I want Minnesota outside here and with this raucous crowd, because the one thing that I saw yesterday that was pointed out at the pregame, Eagles fans don't sell their tickets. And it's like, regardless of who we play, it's going to be a hostile environment here. Coming into to Lincoln Financial Field is going to be hostile. I'd rather have the dome team, because as the game progresses and that team, I don't care what they come out like.
They're both dome half. Teams, right?
But no, L.A. is more warm. It's warmer. I look at them.
He means a true dome.
A true dome. Yeah, it's warmer.
regardless to what happens, either one of these teams that we play against, the game starts at 3. At halftime, it hits different if you're not used to being outside. Like, just like yesterday when we were sitting at the pregame, you could tell when the temperature started to drop. You could feel that. It's the same thing with football. You come in from that half, man, regardless of what you look like in that first half, especially if you're getting beat down. Getting hit in cold weather is a lot different, especially this time of year. It's a lot different.
I felt like a lot of stingers yesterday.
Yeah, it's a lot different, man. And if you're not used to it, it's going to be some cats that might want to tap out early. So I would say between the two, either one of them I wouldn't mind. But I would rather play Minnesota.
So I'm on the it's an interesting point about the dome thing. And also, Sam Darnold has no playoff experience until tonight. This will be his first game. So if they win, this will be his second game here on Sunday. Stafford and McVay have a lot of playoff experience. They won a Super Bowl. That all being said, I'd rather the Rams. We beat them already this year and really blew them out in their building. And, man, the Vikings are a 14-win team. And just where the way the Eagles' offense is right now, I got to tell you guys, I'm a little plant-based about Brian Flores coming in here on Sunday. Hugh, I feel like Flores could give us some challenges.
Fits.
Yeah, some fits. I mean, he's a really good coordinator. I don't even think they
this
have
to. This would be the best defense you face in a while.
Yeah.
It would definitely be that. But I think you're going against – I think there's something to be said against going against a defense like the Eagles on a day-to-day basis. So, I mean, that doesn't scare me. And then, like I said, Joe, it's different when, you know, everybody hyped when the game start. But when that weather started to drop, if it's supposed to creep like it's supposed to, and that weather drops, man, it's different. It's just different. Especially if you're not used to that, it's different.
So, hypothetical spreads on these games. If we get the Vikings here, the Eagles are a 3.5-point favorite in the game. If we get the Rams, they are a 6.5-point favorite in the game. So, the line of FanDuel says the Vikings are the harder opponent. They did win 14 games. We shall see tonight, Vikings-Rams. All right, Hugh would rather see the Vikings. I would rather see the Rams. Kyle, what do you got? Vikings or Rams? Who do you want next week?
I want to see the Rams. I'm kind of with you on the Brian Flores thing. There were moments in the Packers game there where, like, I'm watching the Packers blitz like there's no tomorrow, and I'm just sitting there thinking, man, a really good defensive coordinator is going to do this 100 times versus the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. So
yeah,
I wouldn't
like
want to take the chances.
Yeah, I'd like to avoid that one. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll go through one of the coolest plays in Eagles playoff history. We saw it yesterday. We'll go through the moment, the check, and how it all came down. 215-592-9494. We'll also get to the arena news yesterday with the Sixers, which hit like out of nowhere before this Eagles gets. Like, what? They're staying? We'll talk about that as well. 215-592-9494. What hit you the most from the game yesterday? And who do you want, Vikings or Rams, on Sunday? We'll find out tonight. It is a midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Let's talk bacon. Let's talk about Hatfield bacon and how good Hatfield bacon is. Y'all know me. Y'all know I love to eat bacon. I can eat bacon at any time during the day. It's delicious, and there are so many different flavors and cuts that I can choose from, like hardwood smoked bacon, applewood smoked bacon, and that thick-cut hardwood smoked bacon. But my absolute favorite is that extra-thick-cut maple brown sugar bacon. As a matter of fact, I had some of that this weekend, man. I cooked it on my little grill. It was awesome. Cooking bacon on the grill is like the best. So do yourself a favor and go get you some Hatfield bacon today. Head to simplyhatfield.com and put some pork on your fork.
On second down, Hurts drops, steps up. He's looking, he's rolling, he's back, still looking, and he is firing for the end zone. Touchdown! Wide open, touchdown, and it goes to Johan Dotson.
The opening touchdown, Hurts to Dotson. Elliott Hugh put up a, he like took a screenshot of the play where Hurts threw to Dotson. And the pocket that Jalen Hurts is in.
Pretty pocket.
I mean, I've never seen anything like it. He's just standing there, and there's no defender within, I don't know, 5 yards of him. It was one of the most remarkable combinations of blocking. And I also give Jalen some credit on it, Hugh. He had a lot of patience. At first, did you notice? I think the internal clock in his head started going off like,
yeah, and it was like he was about to run.
Yeah, he was going to leave. And then he's like, wait a second. I can just stay here. No one's coming near me. It was incredible. A great, great moment early in the game as the Eagles score to go up 7-0. 215-592-9494. All right, let's get back to your phone calls here. And then we got to get into tonight, Monday Night Football, the Monday Night playoff game. The Vikings, Rams, neutral site in Arizona. Who do we want? What do we expect as we await the Eagles' opponent on Sunday? We got Herb here in the Northeast. What's up, Herb?
What's happening, Jellio? You Douglas.
What's going on,
Herb,
man?
What's up?
Oh, boy. Hey, boy, somebody fumbled that right away. They came out punching. It's going to be a physical game, boy. That's the way we're going to have to play on Sunday. We got some weather coming. Yeah, there might be some bad weather coming in. So let's get the dogs out. Hoo, hoo. Let's get the dogs out. Hoo, hoo. We going to go out and hit, hit, hit. We going to get 3 or 4 more interceptions. And we're going to get some fumbles, too, boy. Watch. You watch, boy. This week is going to be the gangrene is coming out like the old days, like Buddy Ryan, like Dick Vermeil. Here they come, baby. Just watch it. Yeah, boy. Jalen Hurts. Yeah, he fakes the rollout. He's going to run that baby down for 40-yard touchdown right down the right down the sideline. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, my boy, 88, here he comes. Yes, sir, the tight end. A.J. Brown's going to get his, he's going to get his touchdown. Number 6 is going to get his touchdown. Here comes the offense. Our boys are clicking now. You watch on Sunday. Don't matter who's coming to town, the Rams or the Vikings. We know what to do. Bring out that old playbook from a few years ago when we won the Super Bowl. And we smashed 7 up Atlanta and we smashed up Minnesota.
That's right, Herb.
Oh, yeah. Here we come.
I like the Herb pump-up speech on the Monday.
Baby.
Oh, I am.
Yes,
Herb.
Yeah, smell fun. I got Trotter Jr. He's going to make some plays this week.
How about the fumble recovery yesterday, Herb? How about that?
Yeah, his father's proud of him, boy. Let me tell you.
Of course he is.
You know that, brother.
Herb, what do you want on Sunday? You want the Rams or Vikings?
I don't care who comes. We're going to be prepared to play.
Bring either in. Bring them both. Screw it.
Don't matter who. We're going to play for this. We're going to play this week and put ourselves one game away from the Super Bowl. That's what it's about.
Right, Herb. I like that.
I'm fired up.
Monday, a little Monday, Herb. Here, you ready?
I'm ready.
You have goosebumps.
Goosebumps.
That third game.
I don't think you do. I don't know. Only Monday.
New Orleans.
Fire up that bus, Herb. You ready?
Yeah, fire it up, baby. Get it started.
All right, Herb. Hydrate this week. Get yourself ready for Sunday, buddy. There he goes. Herb in the Northeast, everyone. We'll pump up speech on Monday. It's only Monday. I expect better by Friday. Though he did
better than that?
Yeah, I do. No, if you're looking for an early same game parlay, he gave us 4 touchdown scores and is calling for 5 turnovers they're going to cause. So.
That's a hell of a day.
Yeah, that feels like a blowout for the Eagles. But I like optimistic Herb on a Monday. Let's talk to Brad in Haddon Heights, who has a thought on the quarterback situation. What's up, Brad?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How we doing, Brad?
Oh, I ain't too bad. It's a good day. Good Monday.
For sure. We got a playoff one. So what are you thinking here?
I'm worried. I've been worried all year, and I've been saying the same thing all year, and everybody thought I was crazy back in preseason, but
I truly believe our Tom Brady slash Nick Foles is just waiting in the wings, and we're wasting this defense on Jalen Hurts, and I'm just tired of seeing him. It's almost like his eyes are wrong. I don't know what is going on. I've seen glimpses this year. I think that Steelers game, I don't think the Steelers defense was what it was in the beginning of the season. So I just think our best chance is to put the kid in.
And do what? Do the kid in and do what?
Run the offense.
Brad.
The way it should
Brad,
be
Brad, what was the purpose of yesterday's game? What was the ultimate goal of yesterday's game? The win, right?
Yes, sir.
Did he win?
He won.
So now you want to
how many times?
Hey, wait a minute, Brad. I'm not done. I was gonna tie it up in a nice little bow if you give me that opportunity. Are you gonna allow me to have opportunity?
Nope.
So you're gonna tell me you're gonna put a young, unproven guy in because you saw a couple quarters of him in a game with elimination. It's a one and done situation. You're gonna tell the fan base that's what you're gonna do on a Monday. After you just saw Jalen Hurts go out there off of 4 weeks rest and do what he did yesterday? Because you don't like the way the offense looked yesterday?
I like the way the offense looked, or
you didn't like the way the offense looked.
I like the offense. I like our players.
Who gives you Brad, calm down. It ain't no need to get bit out of shape. Who gives you the best chance of winning Sunday against whomever we play? Who do you feel gives you the best chance of winning?
A large pocket quarterback.
No, Brad. I would like a name.
Doesn't run out of the pocket.
Brad, realistically, who gives us the best chance of winning a playoff game Sunday against Minnesota or L.A.?
Not Jalen Hurts.
Okay. Tell me why do you feel whomever else you put in there is give you a better chance of winning? Give me that scenario.
Can I speak now?
Right. The floor is yours, bro.
Thank you, sir. What I saw at the beginning of the game when he did sit in the pocket and he made that pass to Jahan Dotson, I was very impressed. I didn't think he had that in him. But after that, I really didn't see that, to tell you the truth. I seen a lot of – it almost looked like he had tapped out. He knew he didn't have it. And it almost looked like he wanted to get hurt. He wanted to get out of that game.
Wait a minute. Let him cook. Where did he look like he wanted to get hurt? Could you point that out specifically to me in
he
the
would
game?
Run. Where he would almost run, and it was like a half slide or so. I don't know what was going on. And then he would get up, and he had that look he had when he got all banged up in the game and got a concussion. He had that same look.
So you mean to tell me he had a look?
He don't have the stuff. You can love him up all you want, but I'm just
no, Brad. What I'm trying to get you to realize, like, listen, Brad, calm. First of all, calm down. If you don't like Jalen, just say that. But you're trying to tell me a guy looks scared who just came off of concussion protocol. What do you want him to look like, Brad? I mean, what do you want?
Like he's sitting on the bench with the real quarterback that we need in there.
You know what's funny about your conversation, Brad, is I gave you an opportunity to sit here and voice your opinions, and then you made it stupid. Like you made the conversation stupid. How did he look afraid, Brad? Buddy just came off a concussion protocol.
He was sweating. He looked like he wasn't right or something.
Okay. So in your world, Tanner McKee gives us the best chance of winning against the teams that we're playing against this weekend.
I've been saying that since the beginning of the season.
All right, okay. Brad, I need to jump in.
You have a wonderful day.
I need to jump in. I didn't want to do this because everyone last week was – and I don't want to demean the kid. He's a developing young player, right, Tanner McKee? And he might end up being – I mean, Hugh called him the future 2 weeks ago. He was a McKee maniac. And I appreciate anyone who thinks he could become something. And maybe he will, right? Like, I'm not trying to do this. If you think Tanner McKee gives him a better chance to win a playoff game on Sunday, you're nuts. I mean, you're nuts. Like, we've gone too far. We're to the point where we're skipping over the backup quarterback to go to the third string quarterback.
Yeah.
Can I just point out something about Tanner McKee? Tanner McKee won 6 college games. If I'm being kind, he was a below average college quarterback. It doesn't mean he can't improve, and I think he has improved from when he was at Stanford to now, right? We saw in the preseason, he got a chance to play. You got a chance to talk to him last week. I think it was last Monday, right, on the players?
Yeah.
He seems like a good kid, and he seems like he's developing, and maybe he's going to become something one day. I mean, let's calm down a second. He had 9 of his 23 starts in college throwing the completion percentage under 60%. He had 4 under 50%. I have my questions on Jalen too, Hugh. I think all year he has been more average than great. I think that's being fair. But there's a big line between average NFL quarterback play and third string quarterback play, Hugh. I don't understand it. Like, I don't get how we've gotten there to Jalen Hurts. If you want to be concerned or you want to say, I don't know if he's good enough right now to win a Super Bowl, I think you're very fair to say that.
Yeah,
but
that's
to
fair.
Say Tanner McKee is better
that's
is
what
nuts.
I'm saying. And I gave Brad the opportunity, but it just got stupid at that point because you're sitting here telling me as an Eagles fan with a straight face or whatever it was you were trying to do that you would rather have in this do-or-die situation, this one-and-done situation, you want to have a rookie quarterback, a young quarterback who's only had one game under his belt, lead your team to a victory in a one-and-done scenario. That's just like, no, I'm not saying you're stupid, Brad, but that's stupid to say. That is real stupid to say. That is not being realistic. That is something based on purely that you just don't like Jalen. You'd have been better off just calling in here saying, I don't like Jalen Hurts, and then giving me those reasons instead of the stupid conversation that you was trying to have with that. Because that's not the reality of the situation that we're in right now. We're in a one-and-done scenario, and you're going to sit here with a straight face and try to tell me he's the best chance that we got to win a game? Stop it.
We thought he was a McKee maniac. That guy was a real McKee maniac.
My favorite part of this is the Eagles don't even think he's their second best chance to win.
If they had that much confidence in him, they'd have moved him up.
Right. Yesterday, he was designated as the third quarterback.
Was he the emergency?
Yeah, he was. Kenny Pickett was the backup yesterday. So, like, the Eagles, who have as much information as anyone, right? They know all three players. They don't think he's their second best option. Let alone the first. We can have concern about the passing game. I think we all deep down do to an extent, and we're going to see how far this thing goes. And it's gone very far. I mean, they're in the final four of the NFC. That's the truth. But the McKee stuff is just, it's bananas. I mean, it's really, again, he had 4 games in college completing under 50%. Like, this guy was a 6th-round pick. The idea that we just have the next Tom Brady sitting here is probably not the case, McKee Maniacs. I'm sorry to let you down on a Monday. He's probably not Brady 2.0. Clay is up next. What's up, Clay?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, Clay? What do you feel?
Yeah, I'm talking about why the passing game is not a problem.
Okay.
The reason the passing game is not a problem is because we don't need to pass to win. We're the only team in the league who can literally run and win games.
For now.
I mean, and y'all say when we play these better teams, will it work? But we play better teams and better offenses. We played the Ravens the same way. When he threw 19 passes,
mm-hmm.
had 100 yards, but we won the game comfortably.
If they played again, do you think they could do it again?
I mean, I do. The way this team is built, on offense and defense, why not?
So Clay, I mean, you're right, and so far it's worked. I still believe at some point, and that could be this Sunday, I think most likely it's going to be in Detroit for a title game, they're going to have to throw up more to win.
Right. I mean, we might, but everybody looking at it wrong, like we don't have to throw 40 to 50 passes to win. We don't need 400 yards of passing to win, and that's not a bad thing. Everybody's just looking at it wrong.
No, I don't think anyone's asking for 400, but like
I'm saying, or 300. We win.
No, I agree. But Clay, there were an hour went by, like of real time yesterday, without a pass completed. That didn't concern you?
And we didn't have the best game, but we still won by 12. We could have won by 19. So imagine if we clicking on all cylinders.
Well, but that's what we want, right? We want to click on all.
The only thing Jalen Hurts could do is better is go 20 for 20 because we don't need to throw 40 passes to win. We don't.
I agree with you on that. But yeah,
every team can't win this way.
Sure, sure. But I mean, don't you want to have a better passing game though?
I mean, we could. Is the goal not to win?
No. But that's not the question. Do you? Would you?
Because we don't need it. We don't need it.
Well, they haven't needed it yet. I mean, I think there's a difference between needed it yet and will need it to win the whole thing.
The team has proved this since the bye. We averaged 21,
21 passes a game, and we win every game.
Clay, I get it. And you, the Ravens' point you brought out is a good one, but let's just play it out the next 3 weeks. The next 3 weeks, okay. they may have to beat a 14-win Vikings team, we're about to talk about the game, a 15-win Lions team, and then one of three quarterbacks is going to end up in the Hall of Fame one day, right? So, like, this is probably going to be a little bit more challenging the next 3 weeks, one, two, three in a row.
Until a team makes it have to pass 40 times to win, why change? We limit turnovers.
Well, let me help you out, Clay, because this is what it is. Like, as a former athlete and somebody that played at the highest level, you want to try to work on your deficiency so that it won't become a problem as you progress through the playoffs. You know what I mean? Just like what Joe's trying to say is this. There's going to be a game where you might play, say, next week, whomever we line up against. They might stop the run. And if that's our bread and butter, then what do we have to get them take pressure off of that running game? It has to be the passing game. Have to be able to throw the ball.
Jalen can throw. It ain't like he can't. We just haven't had to.
But to Joe's point, it might be a game where, you know, you're right. The 12 to 13 passes game, that has been good for us. But there might be a game where there has to be more volume in the passing game. And what I mean by that is, in order to loosen up the running game, because a team might say, okay, Jalen might make a couple plays, but I know he's not the quarterback that's built to throw the ball all game long. And it might be a game where they might challenge him like that. They might say, I'm not letting Saquon Barkley beat me. They might say, Jalen needs to beat me with his arm.
And I believe he can.
I believe he can.
I think we all believe he can, but most of this year, that's not what has happened. Clay, good phone call. Let me make a quick comp, and then we'll get to the Vikings-Rams stuff in tonight, who we want to win. Back during the Philly season, they were up and down with their offense, and you could point to a lot of different players. Maybe you use Trey Turner as an example. And I can imagine there was probably a phone call on this radio station, like, this won't matter. Their pitching is so good, this won't matter. And then what happened in the Mets series? Their pitching got hit a little bit, and they couldn't score to win a high-scoring game and beat the Mets. They did it once in Game 2, but they couldn't do it in Game 3. In Game 4, when Lindor hit the home run, I don't know about you guys, but I felt like it's over because I didn't think the Phillies' offense was going to just come alive all of a sudden. Like, you need everything. That's how teams win championships. They have everything. Last year, Hugh, the Chiefs were more of a defensive team, but by the end, what did they need to get over the Niners?
Hey, they needed quarterbacks to make some plays, man. That's the thing. I don't think – we have to be realistic in everything that we're seeing. Yes. Was the performance yesterday good enough to get you through the first round? Yes. Now, nobody's sitting here saying that, you know, the performance is going to be sustainable throughout the whole playoff run. Nobody's saying that. And that's why you have to evolve and change. Yesterday's performance was good enough to win. They know that, and they did it. But it has to be better in order to win it all.
No doubt. All right, let's talk about this coming week. Sunday, 3 o'clock at Lincoln Financial Field. We got one of two teams coming in. Hugh, let's talk about this. Vikings-Rams tonight. It's the Monday night game. So there's a lot here. First of all, the game's being played in Arizona, unfortunately, because of the wildfires in Southern California. So there's no home field tonight. It's a neutral site game. I have no idea what the crowd will be like. You know, I guess people, you know, could just...
They're going to try. Some people are going to try, but it's kind of last minute, too.
Yeah, it's weird. So,
and then probably some of the L.A. fans, the ones that they have, they're probably dealing with other stuff.
Of course. So I don't know what kind of crowd we get tonight. So I'm going to just remove that. Just call this... You remember the pandemic year where you had like half crowds and it was like no home field? That's what I kind of feel tonight. It's not really going to help the Rams or really help anyone. Hugh, what do you make of the matchup? So it's a 14-win on the road Vikings team against the Rams. My gut tells me the Vikings are better, but it's hard. You know, McVay and Stafford, they're dangerous too.
Yeah, they are. But I look at it like this, and either team we get, I feel that we match up well against. I think that both of those teams having to move to a neutral site kind of affects them more so than, you know, a team that had one on playing at home. I really don't care who we play, but if we had a choice between the two, I'd rather play Minnesota. I want Minnesota outside here with this raucous crowd, because the one thing that I saw yesterday that was pointed out at the pregame, Eagles fans don't sell their tickets. And it's, like, regardless of who we play, it's going to be a hostile environment here. Coming into to Lincoln Financial Field is going to be hostile. I'd rather have the dome team, because as the game progresses and that team, I don't care what they come out like.
Well, they're both dome teams, right?
But no, L.A. is more warm. It's warmer. I look at them.
He means a true dome.
A true dome. Yeah, it's warmer. regardless to what happens, either one of these teams that we play against, the game starts at 3. At halftime, it hits different if you're not used to being outside. Like, just like yesterday when we were sitting at the pregame, you could tell when the temperature started to drop. You could feel that. It's the same thing with football. You come in from that half, man, regardless of what you look like in that first half, especially if you're getting beat down. Getting hit in cold weather is a lot different, especially this time of year. It's a lot different.
I felt like a lot of stingers yesterday.
Yeah, it's a lot different, man. And if you're not used to it, it's going to be some cats that might want to tap out early. So I would say between the two, either one of them I wouldn't mind. But I would rather play Minnesota.
So I'm on the it's an interesting point about the dome thing. And also, Sam Darnold has no playoff experience until tonight. This will be his first game. So if they win, this will be his second game here on Sunday. Stafford and McVay have a lot of playoff experience. They won a Super Bowl. That all being said, I'd rather the Rams. We beat them already this year and really blew them out in their building. And, man, the Vikings are a 14-win team. And just where the way the Eagles' offense is right now, I got to tell you guys, I'm a little plant-based about Brian Flores coming in here on Sunday. Hugh, I feel like Flores could give us some challenges.
Fits.
Yeah, some fits. I mean, he's a really good coordinator. I don't even think
this would be the best defense you face in a while.
Yeah.
It would definitely be that. But I think you're going against – I think there's something to be said against going against a defense like the Eagles on a day-to-day basis. So, I mean, that doesn't scare me. And then, like I said, Joe, it's different when, you know, everybody hype when the game start. But when that weather started to drop, if it's supposed to creep like it's supposed to, and that weather drops, man, it's different. It's just different. Especially if you're not used to that, it's different.
So, hypothetical spreads on these games. If we get the Vikings here, the Eagles are a 3.5-point favorite in the game. If we get the Rams, they are a 6.5-point favorite in the game. So, the line of FanDuel says the Vikings are the harder opponent. They did win 14 games. We shall see tonight, Vikings-Rams. All right, Hugh would rather see the Vikings. I would rather see the Rams. Kyle, what do you got? Vikings or Rams? Who do you want next week?
I want to see the Rams. I'm kind of with you on the Brian Flores thing. There were moments in the Packers game there where, like, I'm watching the Packers blitz like there's no tomorrow, and I'm just sitting there thinking, man, a really good defensive coordinator is going to do this 100 times versus the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. So
yeah,
I wouldn't
like
want to take the chances.
Yeah, I'd like to avoid that one. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll go through one of the coolest plays in Eagles playoff history. We saw it yesterday. We'll go through the moment, the check, and how it all came down. 215-592-9494. We'll also get to the arena news yesterday with the Sixers, which hit like out of nowhere before this Eagles gets like, what? They're staying? We'll talk about that as well. 215-592-9494. What hit you the most from the game yesterday? And who do you want, Vikings or Rams, on Sunday? We'll find out tonight. It is a midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Let's talk bacon. Let's talk about Hatfield bacon and how good Hatfield bacon is. Y'all know me. Y'all know I love to eat bacon. I can eat bacon at any time during the day. It's delicious, and there are so many different flavors and cuts that I can choose from, like hardwood smoked bacon, applewood smoked bacon, and that thick-cut hardwood smoked bacon. But my absolute favorite is that extra-thick-cut maple brown sugar bacon. As a matter of fact, I had some of that this weekend, man. I cooked it on my little grill. It was awesome. Cooking bacon on the grill is like the best. So do yourself a favor and go get you some Hatfield bacon today. Head to simplyhatfield.com and put some pork on your fork.